Luke 2, 8 to 11, let's hear God's word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let's pray and seek him once again. Oh, our God and our Father, as we come now to a time of considering from your word the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would cause us to be attentive to your word. May we hear your voice. May we know that you are the God who speaks and the God who draws near. And may we see, know, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, as Christmas draws closer, it's hard to believe it's only 1 week away. As Christmas gets closer, what usually happens is the sense of anticipation and excitement begins to grow. Now, I know that's especially true for children. Christmas can't come fast enough. I remember when I was a child, December was the longest month of the year. It was ridiculous. The 1st of December would roll around, and then it would seem like it was almost 6 months before we got to the 25th of December. Now, one of the challenges we faced back home in Australia is that Christmas takes place in the middle of summer. So we don't sing the carols about the amid the bleak midwinter snow. That makes no sense to us. We don't sing about the snow. But because it's summer, our schools will break up early. So for several weeks before Christmas Day, we're not at school. We're not doing anything. We're sitting at home just anticipating the coming of Christmas. Now, those weeks would drag on. I think Mum was really excited when school went back because finally she could get me out of the house. But those weeks of anticipation, those weeks of excitement, all was building for an event that was going to occur. Now, as a child, that event meant presents. It meant gifts. That's what I was excited about. When Christmas morning finally rolled around, I would wake Mum and Dad up extremely early. They used to say, "Please don't wake us before 5 a.m. But hey, that happens. I'd wake them up, say it's Christmas. Mum would get up. I would rush out to the Christmas tree. Dad would put the coffee on. Mum would have this annoying habit, and I know she's going to listen to this sermon, where she would insist upon doing the washing before I could open my presents. But in that time, the anticipation kept building. And eventually it came time to open the gifts. I unwrapped all my presents and I would find things that I wanted, things that were exciting, things that I was looking forward to playing with. But then occasionally you'd open a present, you'd look at it and go, "What am I meant to do with this?" I'm sure we've all been in that situation. We get a present, we look at it and go, "Well, that's nice." But inside you're going, "I have no idea what I'm going to do with this. I have no idea where I'm going to put this." You know, sometimes we get those presents from people. We have to politely smile at them, thank them for the gift. But inside we're confused. What am I supposed to do with this gift? And likewise, when it comes to the big gift of Christmas, when it comes to Christmas time, churches throughout the world will gather and they will tell people that Jesus is the gift of Christmas. But what so often happens is we can look at this gift that has been given, we can look at the gift of Jesus, we can politely smile, say it's nice that everyone's celebrating, but inside we might be wondering, what am I supposed to do with this gift? Why do I need this gift of Christmas? Now, to answer that question, what we need to do is to go back to the first Christmas, to go back to Luke chapter 2 and encounter what an angel announced to a group of shepherds who were in the fields outside of Bethlehem. If we come to Luke chapter 2, as we've already read, we see that the gift of Christmas is announced in a spectacular way. Imagine the scene, if you will. It is a silent and holy night. The shepherds are out in the hills outside of Bethlehem, keeping watch of their flock. Down below in the little town of Bethlehem, an event was occurring that would change world history forever. A special mother is giving birth to a special baby. Now, the shepherds in the fields that night had no knowledge of any of this. They didn't care. They had no interest that a baby was being born. No, for them, their main focus, their main interest was on the sheep that they have to look after. These shepherds, they weren't the touchy-feely kind of people. They were known from history as being tough and rough and hard men. Historical records say the shepherds at that time were not polite company. They're not the sort of people you invite back for a cup of tea. They were dirty and hard living. Now, these men in these fields spent more time with the sheep than they did with their fellow humans. They were also known as not being religious people. They were far too busy for religion. The sheep, if they leave them alone, they're going to do something stupid. They're going to die. So who has time for religion and all its ceremonies? No, for the shepherds, they had to make money. They had to work hard. Now, despite the fact that they weren't religious and they didn't go to synagogue or temple, these shepherds were still known as being religious people in the sense that they believed in God. They were very much like all people in the world. They know that God exists. Every single person knows God exists. Atheism is a learned behavior. They knew God existed. They had seen the beauty of a sunrise. They had seen the glory of a star-filled night. They had seen the creation that testifies that there is a creator. They knew that God existed. But for these shepherds, that knowledge was not sufficient to change them. God is there. They knew that. But so what? They had other things to focus on. They're just too busy. But all that changed on this particular night. On this particular night in Luke chapter 2, we are told that an angel appears to the shepherds. And this angel, when he appears, immediately has to say, "Fear not." It's pretty terrifying when an angel appears. But the angel tells these shepherds, "Don't be afraid, because I have an important message for you. I have a message that is good news. I have a message that is not just for you shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, but it's a message of good news to all people everywhere." You see, the message that the angel proclaimed that night was not restricted to the religious people who might go to church. He doesn't announce it in the midst of a congregation. The message of good news that the angel proclaims that night is not restricted to those who are financially well off. It's not restricted to people who speak a certain language or have a certain skin color. No, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The message of Christmas, the gift that this angel is proclaiming, is a message that is for all peoples. It is a message that is not limited by geographic boundaries. It is a message for all people everywhere. But what is this message of good news? What is the message that he proclaims? What is the message that brings great joy? Well, the angel tells us it's a message that a gift has been given. A baby has been born. A baby who is known as the Saviour. Look at verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." With that one statement, we see that Jesus Christ, the Saviour who has been born, is a precious gift. The message proclaimed to the shepherds of great joy, of good news, is a message that centers around a person. It centers around Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, "Here is some good news for all people. Work harder, try your best, and God might be pleased with you." It doesn't say that. No, the message of good news, of great joy that is for all people, is that a person has come. There is a special individual who has entered into our existence. There is one who has stepped out of the light and the glories of heaven and come down and stepped into the midst of our darkness. That is the message of good news, of great joy. It's a message of good news and great joy that has been for all people throughout all the ages. And indeed, it is a message of good news and great joy for us this morning. Jesus, the Savior, has been born. That's the gift of Christmas. But notice that just declaring that Jesus is the gift of Christmas doesn't answer the question of why. Perhaps you are still looking at Jesus, the gift of Christmas, and you're wondering, why do I need him? What am I supposed to do with this gift? Perhaps you politely smile at me, and I see a few people smiling. You politely smile at me and say, that's nice, Jesus is born, that's a historical event, we know that, we celebrate it each and every year. But so what? What am I meant to do with this gift? Why do I need this gift of Jesus? How is this good news of great joy for me personally? Well, the answer is found in the fact that the angel calls him the Savior. The Savior is the title he is given. And that title reveals why we need this gift of Christmas. Think of it like this. Now, something I've noticed as I've travelled throughout Cornwall is that in many of the shops, you'll have a little collection tin for the lifeboats. And they encourage people to drop a few coins in and support the wonderful work of the lifeboats. They do a great job. They risk their lives, they rush out to the sea, and they rescue people who are in danger. Now, take that imagery of the lifeboat running out to rescue somebody and apply it to Christmas. Bring it to Jesus and say, right, what is it that Jesus has come to save us from? What is it that Jesus has come to rescue us from? Jesus has had to rush from heaven to earth to rescue people, but why? You know, many people don't understand why they need this gift of Christmas, why they need this rescuer. But what does the angel say? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's think about it for a moment. A Savior has been given. Well, that implies there's something we need to be saved from. A lifeboat doesn't rescue a person who is swimming perfectly fine. No, they rescue someone who's in danger, someone who has a problem. And the same is true of Jesus. He is the Savior, and he comes to this earth for all peoples, as the angel says. He brings a message of good news, of great joy to all peoples everywhere, saying that you need rescue. You need a Savior. And the wonderful news is the Savior has come. But what is it we need to be saved from? Well, earlier in the service, we had Matthew chapter 1 read for us. And in Matthew chapter 1, which is another account of the birth of Jesus, we see in verse 21 of Matthew 1 why we need the Savior. Listen to what Matthew 1:21 says. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, the Bible tells us very clearly that the reason we need the gift of Christmas, the reason we need the gift of the Lord Jesus, the Savior, is because every single person in the entire world has sinned against God. In fact, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes me. That includes you. That includes every person you meet. We have all sinned against God. Now, what is sin? Well, the Bible says sin is breaking God's law. God has made us, he has created us, and therefore he is the boss. He gets to tell us how we should live and how we should conduct our lives. The problem is we've turned our back on God, we've told God to clear off, and we've done our own thing. We've sung along with Frank Sinatra, "I've done it my way." And we break God's rules. God has given us the Ten Commandments, His moral law, which should guide us how we should live and act. But we said, "God, we know better than you. We're not going to follow your rules." And that breaking of the law of God is called sin. But here is the big problem. Many people don't realize that the truth of Scripture is actually fulfilled in their life, namely, that they are a sinner. Yet many people don't realize that truth, that you personally are a sinner. When we think of sinners, we think of someone out there. Or perhaps if you want to get really, really close to home, you might be thinking of the person next to you. That person's a sinner, but not me. You see, our default position is to think others are the bad guys. But we are the good people. We're the moral person. I'm perfectly acceptable to God. I'm sure God will accept me. Coming from Australia, there is a movie that's probably the most famous movie in Australia, Crocodile Dundee. And in that movie, there's a discussion with Crocodile Dundee about God. And in that movie, Crocodile Dundee, answering the question, says, "Well, God and me, we will be mates. He's a fisherman like me. We're going to get on really well." You see, that portrays the mindset that many people have. "Oh, we'll be mates with God because, you know, I do some things that God likes. I do good things. Surely God's going to accept me. He might not accept that other person. They're a sinner. But I'm not." But until we grasp the truth that we personally are sinners, that we personally have rebelled against God, until we understand that truth, we will never fully understand the real meaning of Christmas. You see, sin is a big deal. We know it's a big deal because it takes God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and rescue us. If we could save ourselves, if we could rescue ourselves, then Jesus would never have been born. We would not be celebrating today. If sin wasn't so big, then there would be no need for Jesus to come. And perhaps you hear what I'm saying and you agree. You think sin is a big deal. You turn on the news and you see a society that is completely ravaged by sin. You drive through our communities and you see the damage that sin has caused and you go, "That's right, sin is a big deal." But have you personalized it for yourself? Have you turned it around and looked at your own life and realized that you personally have sinned against God? And that you as an individual desperately need the Saviour? I don't want to talk in big abstract terms. I want to make you uncomfortable by bringing a pinpoint focus upon you. And I know it's uncomfortable because I've had this pinpoint focus put upon me. I stand before you this morning as a sinner. As one who has rebelled against God more times than I can count. But I also stand before you as one who's been rescued by a really kind Saviour. You see, if we personalise it, we look at ourselves and reflect on our own lives and we hold ourselves up to the mirror of God's law, the Ten Commandments, we quickly see that we are the sinners that Jesus has come to rescue. For instance, if we look at the commandments of God, we see that commandment number 9 says, "Don't tell lies. Always tell the truth." I think if we're completely honest, we'd all have to admit we've broken that one. Commandment number 8 says, "Don't steal," but so often we take things that don't belong to us. The first and second commandment get at how we should love God and worship God. The Bible says we should love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. None of us has done that. None of us have loved God in that way. God is not naturally number one in our lives. And as we examine ourselves in the light of what God says, we should quickly see that we are the sinners. That we have sinned against God. That the sin that you have committed has declared judgment, death and hell upon you. But as you think about that reality, look again to the gift of Christmas. Why do I need the gift of Christmas? Why do I need Jesus? Why do I need the Saviour? What am I supposed to do with him? But you need him because you sinned. And you need a rescuer. Look again at the Christmas gift, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. The good news of great joy is that our sin, all the sin that we have committed, can be forgiven. We can be rescued by a wonderful Saviour. The gift of Christmas comes to rescue us, to forgive us, to save us from our sins. This is why the world all over celebrates Christmas, because it is good news for all people. It doesn't matter where you are from, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your context. The good news is that Jesus can rescue you, he can forgive you, he can make you brand new. This is the gift of Christmas. No longer do we have to sit in the darkness. No longer do we have to face death and judgment and hell. No, if we would repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be completely forgiven. We would know the gift of rescue. We would know the gift of forgiveness, of eternal life in heaven when we die. This is good news of great joy for all people. The Saviour has come. But this message of Christmas is really just the beginning. As we look at our Bibles and think about Jesus this morning, we should realize that we are just seeing the start of the story. This is just the beginning of the rescue message. You see, this Savior who was born in the city of David grows up and he lives a perfect life. He lives a life that we could never live. And then he willingly goes to the cross and he pays the penalty that our sin demanded. Our sin said death and judgment. But Jesus Christ on the cross pays the penalty for our sin. He dies for his people. He takes the punishment we deserve. And then 3 days later he rises again from the dead. This is a loving gift from a loving Saviour. God in love rescues sinners. The Bible says God shows his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Savior died to pay the penalty for our sin. And he does it out of love. He does it because he is kind. Jesus dies in our place. He rises again from the dead. The Christ of the cradle becomes the Christ of the cross. This is good news of great joy to all people. The Savior has been born. Now, in 1 week from now, on Christmas morning, many of us will receive gifts. And when you receive a gift on Christmas morning, you have to pick it up, you take it, and you open it. A gift is only good if you actually open it up and use it. And that's what we have to do with Jesus. We look at the Savior who has been born. We hear the facts of the matter that we have sinned, but Christ has died and risen again. We are to look at the gift of Jesus, and we are to take that gift by faith. We are to take Jesus and unwrap him, saying, Lord, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again for me. I'm going to turn from my sin and trust in you. And if you would take Christ by faith, you would know the Savior. You would know rescue. You'd be pulled from the darkness, forgiven of all your sin. But the question for you this morning is this: will you take Jesus by faith? Will you receive the gift of Jesus? You see, the shepherds in our passage, when they heard the message of Christ, they immediately left their sheep and they rushed down to Bethlehem. And they found Jesus. And they worshipped him. And that is what we should do. We should leave behind our sin. We should turn from our sin and rush to Jesus Christ by faith and say, I'm going to worship you. I'm coming to you. I'm going to worship you because you are the Saviour who dies and rises again. That should be our response at Christmas. Hear of our sin. Hear of the Saviour dying and rising again. Hear of his wonderful love, his message of good news, of great joy. And in response to that, we are to turn from our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him for his forgiveness. So today, this very moment, if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then will you take the gift of Christmas? Will you take the Lord Jesus and say, I'm coming to you by faith right now. I need you to forgive me. Would you trust in Christ who died and rose again? The shepherds rushed to Jesus. Will you? Will you come to Christ? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. If you are here this morning and you say, I don't know this Jesus, but I really do want to know him. I really want to be forgiven of all my sins. I want my life completely changed. Then please talk to me or Mark or the elders afterwards. We'd be more than happy to introduce you to the Saviour so that you can know the good news of great joy. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you for your message of good news this morning. The message of Christ coming into the world to save sinners. The message that a Saviour has been born to rescue us from all the sin we've committed. Oh Lord, may we be reminded of the gift of Christmas this day. For those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, may we stand in awe once again of our Saviour. But for those who do not, Lord, you search the hearts of all people. You know those who are truly yours and those who are not. For those who do not know you this morning, we ask, Father, that they would see your love and your kindness and that that would lead them to repentance. Oh, Lord, would you save people this very day for the sake of the Lord Jesus? Amen.